And yeah, I just think you have to be authentic with your art, with whatever you do. Like I said, I don't consider myself just a business person. I consider myself an artist. If anybody asks me, like the other thing is like colors to me is like my artwork, right? It's a continuous piece of work that I work on it every single day and just try to make that masterpiece. Hopefully, eventually ends up in the MoMA, you know?
Welcome to session 44 of One Love Art Sessions Leadership. I'm James LJ. No, just kidding. He's not here, y'all. It's me, Candido Crespo.
I'm Jose Ojeda.
You know, we're like a mess without our third wheel, like a stool with two legs, right? It's not
wobbly.
Really,
we're very wobbly.
I
we're
know.
Gonna do our best through to get through this show.
it's good to see you. We've been connecting, but in terms of the show, we've been away from the show for a while.
Yeah.
Is there something that our listeners should know about what you've been up to, man? Are you producing work? Are you collecting work?
Yes. No. Yes and no. Am I producing? Not as much as I'd like. That's, you know, a constant. You're never producing as much as you'd like.
Right.
Am I collecting? So right now, I collect mostly digital work. We are in a bear market, if you have not been aware. So we're also in a global recession or the beginnings of one. So that means liquidity is low across the board, and it's bad for collectors. It's bad for artists. But there's still, you know what? It makes you more focused on what you want to do. You know, you don't just throw your hat in the ring everywhere. And it makes you hone in on the projects and the people and the artists that you really kind of vibe with. The cliche is that you build during a bear market.
So yeah, that's what they say, right?
That's what they say. And I think it's more than building, it's focus, right? You kind of recenter yourself and see what is important to you. So I've been doing a lot of that.
I've been intrigued by the conversations that have been coming up around this time because they seem like they're a little bit more in depth, right? A lot of it, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of it seemed superficial for a while.
Right.
As far as like, you know, what the definition was of community building or what people were interested in having conversations about. Now there's not so much like people taking over spaces to sell their work. Instead, they're like, you're getting to know artists. Like people are taking time to slow down a little bit and like,
yeah,
you can really get to know somebody now. So now when you're watching somebody's, you know, somebody's timeline, they're talking about things that make them who they are as opposed to just the JPEGs. You're seeing a little bit more about the artist right now.
Sure. Yeah, because when you're in a full bull market and things are hot, you know, the market's hot, it becomes a lot about the money, you know, whether you like it or not. It's about if you're an artist making money, selling work, getting it out there, because the money's there to be had. So you need to shill, quote unquote, right? You need to spend your time getting your name out there, whatever it takes. But now the energy, like you said, has shifted a bit. So I think it's good. I think it's healthy. And just got to keep showing up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as what I'm doing, there's a tiny show coming up. For anybody who's not aware, I'm sure they know what tiny libraries are. Some communities have it, some homes have it, the little box that looks like an open mailbox.
Before you continue, it's a big deal, but it's quite literally a tiny show.
Yeah. Those tiny libraries that people have outside of their house was expanded into the idea of having a tiny gallery. So, you know, for people like us, this is a beautiful concept when we're thinking about providing opportunities, providing access to communities who don't have the same level of access, you know. All right, no punches. Black and brown people and museum history is really complicated. You know, our people don't always feel like they have the opportunity or ability to enter these spaces of galleries. There's the stigma of what they're like, not knowing how to dress to them, or, you know, maybe really being ostracized to the point where they aren't welcome to some of the spaces.
Sure.
This is a really cool opportunity, though, I think, in general, because what it does is it just takes the artwork and just puts it in the community right there. It's like everything that that so many of us have been wanting to do. You know, how do you make art available to everybody and they can just see it in passing while they're walking down a sidewalk? And so we're actually, you and I, because as much as this is an opportunity for me as a solo artist, it's really our concept of the chess boxing, our Black Queen being put into a solo show. And it's really fun. There's a couple of paintings. We're going to bring the brass metal cut out. And it's going to be, I think really for you and I, it's a celebration, right? Of like this thing that we have been working on for over a decade.
That's crazy.
It's going to have its moment, right?
It is inspiring. And I thank you again for, you know, bringing me along. I know it's our project, but I definitely felt brought along to this one, you know, because it is your show. It's your solo show. And you're like, hey, how about the Queen? Bring the Queen as like a nice little sculpture in there. And I was like, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, we made this together. I forgot. So
yeah,
it'll be good.
Over a decade, bro, we've been working on this thing. I mean, that's out of control. It started as a reference to Wu-Tang, The Mystery of Chess Boxing. A sketch was turned into a metal cut, and man, have we explored with this thing now.
I feel very old. I feel like I'm dying, but I feel good. I feel healthy, vibrant. Let's do it. Can you give the details of when this piece will be? I don't think there's hard dates, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to share that probably in the next episode. So everybody stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. Good.
You know, thinking of how we as artists have been moving along, something that you and I have talked about as far as printmaking goes. You know, this is now moving away from the solo show conversation and just thinking about something that I think would be beneficial to all artists. I think if you're in a position of having the opportunity to try out different materials that are within your within your media, I think you should do that. And I'm referring to brands because, you know, I was printing something right now and I wasn't thrilled about the ink. And I reached out to you and you mentioned this ink to grab and what a difference.
Ooh, you like it. Good.
Yeah, it's really bold. And in this case, it wasn't really deviating from the brand. It was like looking for the right one though. What what is that right consistency of ink that you need?
Sure.
So a tip, right? A One Love Art Sessions tip to any artist out there is if you have the opportunity, you have the money, you have the time, you know, explore with different mediums or different brands so that you have an opportunity to really decide like which is, you know,
brands and materials. Yeah. I wasn't sure what you meant. So sorry. Like Nike,
yeah. I was jumping. Yeah. I was jumping around a little bit.
So to piggyback and end on this note. So one thing I always say, cause I'm into bread, making my pizzas, ingredients matter a lot. You know, they make the world of difference. And so the flour I use is very special and it makes all the difference. And the same could be said about the ink, right?
Sure.
So there's something to be said for quality. Not everything is made. Not all paper, not all ink, not all mediums are made different. And you reached out to me because you knew, I was like, oh, I know what works. So if you're not familiar, reach out to another artist who is more familiar with what's out there and they'll be more than happy to give you a tip.
Yeah. Anything in the news?
You know what? I think there's some soup news, but I think we should just jump straight into our into our conversation with our guest today.
There's some soup
in news.
Well, okay. So being an artist comes with like certain stigmas, right? There are no business, they're not business people, right? We're never really associated with being business people. Or how about the studio hermits, right? You know, the artists that just stay inside their studio and they come out once in a while for some vitamin D and to have a solo exhibition. But rarely do we hear the association of artists with leader. And even though we know artists are trailblazers in multiple industries, you know, our guest today really shakes that up a bit. So let's get into that conversation. Jose Tutiven is an artist, curator, community leader, agent of change, and visionary. He is the founder of Colored Colors and Colors Media Group. He currently resides in Long Island, New York. Look, Jose, we always try to do our best to introduce our guests, but you know, sometimes we leave out something that is vital. And, you know, we would love for you to share with our audience, you know, maybe something that they should know about you.
I mean, that introduction was great. Thank you. I don't know who write these up, but please refer them to me. I would love to use them. I mean, thank you guys for having me. I think, you know, if anything that I wanted to add was, you know, I am an immigrant to this country. I was born in Ecuador. I came here when I was 7. My roots are very important to me, and it's something that I like to, you know, kind of use to fuel me in my work and everything that I do for my community. Just not being a Latino, but just a minority in general, just trying to always represent the people that are, you know, not represented as often. So
Jose, we actually share a few things in common, right? So my name is also Jose. Depending who I'm talking to, but I'm also, my family's from Ecuador as well.
Oh, look at that.
So, I mean, it's, I was born here. Yeah. Do you know of the Ojedas?
I don't know. Are you from, I'm from Guayaquil. So,
My family's from Guayaquil and Loja.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look at that. Hey, pleasure to always meet more Ecuadorians. Yeah. Absolutely. There's not many of us, to be honest.
They're far and few between.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's either here, Queens, or Patchogue. That's about it.
So let's stay there for a moment, right? Before we even go anywhere else, because I'm always curious. We've had these conversations before with our guests. We've even had episodes that specifically about this, but when referring to identity and its role that it plays in our personal artwork or the work that we do, meaning the community work that you do, why is, you know, being Ecuadorian so important, or how does it show up in your work?
I think it's something more recent, and I know I'm going to sound very cliche.
Okay.
But I think, you know, this is like going into the topic of like people that have influenced me. And I think talking about somebody, like I said, it's going to sound cliche, but like Bad Bunny, right? Benito Casio Martinez, like everything that he's done for like his people in Puerto Rico really kind of like changed that narrative in my head of like, yeah, I want to also be that same, you know, I want to strive to be the same person and kind of like show up for my people, you know? And try to do everything that we can. Like I said, the Ecuadorian community is not very large here in where we reside here on Long Island. There's pockets of us spread out. That's why I use more like, as a Latino, I've kind of like now kind of made it a focus in my work to kind of represent more Latinos. And by representation, I mean even uplifting others to be put in seats such as art councils, such as, you know, people getting grants, such as yourself. You know, congratulations on your projects. I think what you're doing with Creatividad is very awesome. And yeah, just things like that. So that's where like that narrative has changed in my head, where like I've kind of taken more responsibility of wanting to, yeah, to represent more of my culture. Like I said, not just Ecuadorians, but just Latinos in general. So.
Okay.
Sometimes as an Ecuadorian, I feel like we get shafted. You know, they name the different countries in songs, and I feel like Ecuador is always last.
We've been getting recognition, man. And get ready for the World Cup, because we're right here. Let me just say, who's opening the World Cup? I want to hear it. It's Ecuador. All right.
Hey, let's go.
So, you know, we're getting up there for sure. I think we're getting known. You know, we have a lot of great exports. Obviously we're right on the equator, and we even have the Galapagos Island, which is one of the biggest treasures that we have.
That's where I spent my honeymoon. That's where my wife and I did. We went to the Galapagos Islands for our honeymoon.
Did you really?
It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did 14 days out there.
I haven't even been there. Yeah, my parents did the same thing for their honeymoon when they got married. But
it's life changing.
I've seen the pictures.
So let's do this. I have so many questions, and they're just like they're starting to stack up on each other. But I want to make sure that like there's certain things that we want to answer, and this is going to fall into identity as well, or a sense of belonging, because I think you and I have something in common. Well, I know we have something in common because we're finally catching up right now. This conversation is well overdue, but part of the reason why I don't have the stake in our community the way you did is because that feeling of having to, or thinking that I had to leave Brentwood to make a name for myself as an artist, really took me out of Brentwood and made me go into the city. And it wasn't until I started teaching in Central Islip that I felt like, okay, now I'll do a better job of playing my part as an artist locally. And you did the opposite though. You didn't just take, or to my understanding, you didn't just take the ball and run. Instead, you said, let me make this change here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I can always say, this is what I like to say. I didn't reinvent the wheel, but I kind of just wanted to make those paths for myself. So really, Color Colors, if anybody who's watching and everybody who is watching, the idea of it was kind of to create this kind of environment that we replicate, that we can find in the city, right? So like these hubs of artistry and different places where artists can just go and have opportunities, meet other like-minded individuals, just have events that they can go to and feel comfortable in. And on top of that, just have the communities around you supporting those same things. So Color Colors actually started at a pizzeria. That's the first time that I ever did something with organization. It was kind of like an idea. And my god sister, Jen, she owned the pizzeria in Deer Park. And I kind of just asked her if I could just curate like some show. This is me saying curation, like I knew what I was doing.
Juventus Pizzeria, right? Should we give a shout out to the pizzeria?
Shout out to Juventus Pizzeria. But you know, I just took that idea and I just wanted to like kind of do it here, right? Without knowing anything. This is what I said, like, that's why I think like the humble beginnings kind of like helped me out, where it was like, I just come from that mindset of like, yeah, let's just get it done no matter what it looks like or whatever it is. Like, so I just decided to do it. And then I've met great people along the way that kind of supported that mission. I guess you could say that. Yeah, I kind of started it in my home base and then just kind of kept going and just pushing it everywhere else here on Long Island. And now, you know, we've got into all the way from East Hampton to Hudson Yards in the city, where we now do a festival twice a year over there. So
that's dope. Ojeda, jump in whenever you feel like it. Like I said, I have questions firing off every time we, you know, as we're digging deeper into this conversation. We have some mutual friends, Jose and the show, Andy, Diego, JB. What's your relationship like with those guys, and how have they been, and like how have they been a part of your journey?
Diego and JB, those are my brothers. Okay. You know, JB, obviously, as you know, he's kind of like, that's why I said I didn't reinvent the wheel. I kind of got that line from him, because he tried to do the same thing that I was doing out here. And it's interesting what you said, that you went out to the city, because I've heard that from him, that there was different artists during before our time that was the mindset that you guys had. Like, you guys were like, Long Island really isn't it. And the opportunities just aren't here. And I can't disagree with you, because they're still not fully there. You know, there's still lots of work to be done over here. So JB has just kind of been that mentorship, has provided me some type of mentorship to keep going, because like, if he can't get it done, then I got to take the torch and run with it too. And then Diego, you know, Diego Garcia, what an amazing artist that was put into my path, because he's just amazing at what he does. And whenever I've needed support from him, and whenever we can collaborate or whatever, I can plug him into things or he plugs me into stuff. That's the relationship that we have, you know. We just kind of support each other in that way of like anything that we see valuable to each other, we help each other out. And it's just a phone call away. We don't have to talk every day, but if something comes up and he's like, yo, I'm ready for it, I'm ready for it. And whenever I call him, it's the same kind of energy, you know, we're both ready to go. So.
So can you break down a little bit more about Color Colors to our audience who might not be too familiar?
Yeah. Color Colors, it's not really rocket science. We kind of do cultural events.
Okay.
Like I said, it's just different ideas that just come from my crazy head. And how I kind of say it, it's like, as my person, like, what would I like to do? What kind of event would I like to see here on Long Island? That's really how I base it, like, kind of like fitting my demographic, right? As right. a minority, as a millennial, as a middle class working artist, like, what would I like to see? And that's usually where the events come from. And they vary from all different sorts of things. Like, we've done a bunch of markets where we invite artists, makers, and stuff. And then we curate musicians. It's kind of like an ecosystem in that sense, because, you know, the artist and the vendors kind of feel the event, and then that fuel goes to the musicians, and then those musicians provide the entertainment, which bring people in. So it's like mm-hmm. a rotating ecosystem. Those are like our main events that we do. And now that we've grown, we've kind of gotten different opportunities where, like, now we have two different venues that we do artist showcase, where we rotate artists just to provide them opportunities completely free. We give them an exhibit. What else have we done? We do like open mic nights for like poets and musicians. We do now small festivals that we partner up with Hudson Yards Hell's Kitchen Alliance. You know, I'm trying to think. There's so much, man. There's so much to cover. But it's just like cultural events where artists and musicians and just creatives can enjoy. And like I said, I'm just trying to bring that culture here on Long Island and make it relevant, you know?
So much going on. You felt the need to develop the Colors Media Group, right? So what was that? Yeah. What was the, how did that find its way?
So Colors Media Group is my current baby, because Colors is now a toddler, right? So it can walk. Colors Media Group kind of like is the baby of the family. That was sort of like an idea. It was just to fulfill kind of like the need. Sorry if you hear the Halloween decorations in the background.
That's funny.
But Colors Media Group was my idea of, like, you know, the way that I kind of rise to success, or whatever you want to describe it as, or relevancy, whatever it is, was because of the marketing that I did. I found that strategy to be what a lot of arts councils were lacking out here. They didn't market themselves properly. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't know what recap videos were, recap photos, just showcasing the work that you do in your community or as your events and all that stuff. And that's from the get-go, like, that's what Colors did. You know, mm-hmm. I had this marketing strategy, videographers, photographers, they had to kind of document the whole journey and every single thing that we did. No matter if it left me in the red, it had to get done. So eventually I just said, like, well, now that it's proven to work, because, you know, build a whole like kind of business off of it, off of that marketing, why not offer that marketing to others? So the whole project is to kind of do that, just offer services to creators or, you know, smaller artists to kind of have a place where they can go and just look for marketing services. At the same time, also giving opportunities to freelance photographers and videographers that we've worked with throughout the years. That's like great. I said, I just want to create this ecosystem. That's my idea. That's where I get from, like, Steve Jobs, who's an inspiration to me as well. It's just like, mm-hmm. like, he created this ecosystem with Apple. Once you're in, you're kind of like just invested in the whole brand itself. So
you've kind of figured it out, right, for yourself and, you know, your company, but then now you want to offer that to other people as well.
Yeah.
And so that they can fill their needs for their communities.
Yeah, man. I'm here to help. Like I said, I call great. Myself a public servant to the arts, and that's what I'm here for. So
I you recently, when I say recently, it's just like, it feels like everything is time is just, it just laps over itself. You won a Creative Rebuild New York grant. I'm very unfamiliar as to what that is, and I would love for our listeners to get a better understanding, because we've talked about grants and we've talked about opportunities that exist. But this one is one that's new to me. But regardless, I was super happy for you. I was like, this sounds like a great opportunity. This is a thing, you know, that one of our people got. But what is it, you know, and what do you plan to do with it?
Great question, because the grant overall was out of nowhere, to be honest. It was just, if anybody actually wants the whole scope of it, you can look it up, creativerebuildnewyork.com. They'll give you the whole thing. Pretty much the grant was a program, it's a pilot program, so it's the first time ever being done. It was meant for working artists. So it was a work, an artist work employment program. You would pretty much, you submit through it, you partner up with an organization. The organization that I partner up with is Babylon Arts Council, alongside another artist called Bella Harper. She's a photographer. And then we kind of like, me and Baca, Babylon Arts Council, that's, you know, we've had a relationship before. So we kind of already have worked together on projects. Creatives Rebuild, what they were looking for was to give artists an opportunity to lead programs themselves. So kind of like, yeah, when Liz, the director over there, kind of touched basis upon it, I was like, kind of sounds like what I do already, right? So it was like, let's go for it. Like, let's put a proposal and submit it. We went through a whole interview process. It was about 3 months. And then God bless, we got the grant. The grant itself, for the artists, it's a 2-year program. They awarded us $130,000. And then we were awarded $75,000 on top of that for the project. I can't really talk too much about the project because Liz will kill me. Ooh. Because we're still developing as we go. But the whole idea, yeah, she will not be happy. She likes to keep things under wrap until we fully have the full scope of it. But once we have the opening reception,
yeah,
which is on February, you guys are more than welcome to come and enjoy it. But the whole idea is for us to bring cultural exchange to Long Island through public arts installations. That's all I can really say. But it's a lot, you know. That's why I said I'm a busy kind of guy. So
yeah, I love it. This guy is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe for sure.
Yeah, man. Doctor Strange all day, bro. If I could be in multiverses, I would.
So something that just comes to mind from everything that we talked about, authenticity, right? Authenticity and faith. Those two things are coming to mind based on what we're talking about and prior interviews that I've heard of yours. So let's start with authenticity. You seem like an authentic guy to me, man. And everything I hear from you, what I've known about you even before you and I have had the opportunity to engage, seems like that's an important characteristic for you and what you do.
I love using that word. I'm glad you've done your research and you've been keeping up, because I authentic is a big word that I like to use. Yeah, I mean, I just trying to stay true to myself. 5 years ago, I actually painted that on top of my ceiling. I painted, like, you know, I painted the words, be humble and stay true to yourself, when I started this artistic journey. And it's something that it's still there, you know, and I look at it every single morning as just like kind of a reminder of just kind of staying true to myself and staying humble throughout this whole process. Because back then I didn't know where it was going to lead me. And obviously a lot of doors and a lot of blessings kind of have come my way, and doors, like I said, have opened up to allow me to do the work that I do. And yeah, I just think you have to be authentic with your art, with whatever you do. Like I said, I don't consider myself just a business person. I consider myself an artist. If anybody asks me, like, the other thing is like Colors to me is like my artwork, right? It's a continuous piece of work that I work on it every single day and just try to make that masterpiece, hopefully eventually ends up in the MoMA, you know? So I think it speaks, your work always will speak for you. So that's also why I find the word authentic, being authentic, as something important, because you can fake it till you make it, but eventually that catches up to you. So look at that. Sorry, James was just calling me. JB, shout out to you. So yeah, I think that's that part of authenticity that I can express the best way that I can put it. I know I'm mumbling words now and jumbling. It's just a lot.
That's okay. And then the other thing that I see is recurring, which normally is a Passover for some people, but you seem to be including it pretty often. So faith. Why is that important to your work?
I actually had this conversation today with somebody else, because I'm supposed to do some TED Talk in Manhattan next month for, like, Latin leaders. And then the guy that was doing the phone, like the introduction and telling me all this stuff, he like was telling me his life story. And then he brought up a good point which I resonated the most. You know, he had imposter syndrome. And I think that's where I started leaning more on my faith and my religion, because at some points you do start to question things and you do feel like, why am I the one that was chosen to do this? You know, why am I the one that has to hold all this weight sometimes and push myself to my limits? And, you know, and then when you do get the blessings, it's like, that's great. Sometimes it does get lonely in the top, you know, or whatever you consider. Like I said, I'm not even there yet. And I feel those pressures sometimes of like, damn, you know, I can't relate with certain people anymore. Or my mind is moving so fast that, you know, other people don't understand me. And it's a very tough road to be on. And that's where like faith to me and God kind of like my spirituality kind of like emerged. And I started leaning more on that, because that's the only thing that I could really think of where I can go, where I can find some sort of, I don't know, somewhere just to lean on and just to like kind of thank somebody, you know, to be thankful for it. Cause like I said, I don't take this for granted. I think this is, you know, this can leave to tomorrow if it really wanted to. And that's really it. That's why I've become closer to, yeah, to my faith and God and the universe itself. So yeah, that was a deep question, man.
That's what we do here, yeah. Right? We get to the core of our beings.
Yeah.
I had a question. You brought up marketing before. Where did you get your sense? Where do you think you got your sense of marketing, how important it is? Because it is definitely a skill that not everyone has.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I just studied the, you know, everything else. I think I started studying like the big companies, like I said, the Steve Jobs of the world.
Right.
Back then. And then I just started seeing like, you know, other people that were doing kind of like the same thing on bigger scales. And I was like, what are we missing that, you know, that they have? And it was just that, it was just like, they had the marketing, they operated as a bigger business than they were. And that's where, like I said, I think that's where Long Island's a little behind. We don't think that way. We're still stuck in the past.
Sure.
In some senses. And that's really where that kind of like, I got that idea of like, yeah, marketing has to be number one on the list for how to expand and evolve in my business. And the way that I practice, to be honest, anybody out there, like sometimes the story, I'd be posting so much on my stories and people might think it's to be annoying, but I'm really just practicing like my marketing skills and just seeing like what works and what doesn't.
So, what sticks. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the more likes that I get, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, okay, this is a cool marketing team because people are liking it.
That's good.
They might post some weird content and I get no likes. I'm just like, well, that didn't work. We won't do that again. You know,
you're doing
like,
your own A/B testing. That's fun.
That's it. Great. Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah. This is the first time I'm telling people in public.
The secret of the sauce.
That's the secret. Yeah. Just post. And like, if people like it, then stick to it and use it in a business sense. You know?
To piggyback off that, what can you kind of tell our listeners or someone who might be in the same position, who has a community they feel might be underserved and they really want to do something with it? What kind of inspiration can you lay out there for us?
Be okay with getting a bunch of no's. Be okay with failure, but always be confident in your work. And like I said, somebody telling you no doesn't mean that you're not good. It just means that they're not the right person to help you out. And I really, that's what I believe in, you know? Like I said, even to this day, I still get no's. There's still ideas that don't follow through, or like businesses that reject certain proposals, you know? And I'm okay with that just because you have to keep going. So, you know, as long as like what we said, just stay true to yourself, be authentic, and just don't give up, because you have to start somewhere, and that's it. Every day is a hustle. So,
Jose, thank you for your time. Thank you for trusting us with your story, and we look forward to continue building a relationship with you, brother.
Yeah, I know today was a little short just because I'm tight on my schedule, but I wish we could continue talking. And if you ever guys need another,
we'll have you back for sure, because this has been great.
invite me back, or even if it's just to like talk shit.
Hang out.
Let's kick it.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you guys.
I was thinking about like what kind of takeaways I was gonna get before we even had the conversation, because just following Jose's career and what he's been doing, there are some things that I've been paying attention to. There is the emotion that comes to mind first is just jealousy, but it's not like in a negative light. He's doing something in a community that I would have loved to have done. Right. I would have loved to have been the person, the spark in my hometown. But, you know, unlike him, I thought I had to go build my community in the city. So I took all of my energy. I took all of what I thought was necessary. I mean, shit. I think exhibiting in Stony Brook when you did the show there might have been like, well, we did a Fraternity Brothers show there, right?
Right.
That might have been one of the first times I came back to even show work in Long Island.
Man.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe, because I just felt so disconnected. Didn't cross
my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I just assumed. You assume because someone's from somewhere that they must kind of show work there or they have a connection to. But you never really know how someone feels. I mean, not to get too personal, but even now, like, how do we feel connection to where we live?
Yeah.
Right? And we're always kind of reestablishing that. And also now in a digital sense, where do you kind of plant your flag? What spaces are you comfortable with, or where do you want to kind of expand?
Yeah.
Cool.
The power of community and team, right? That one came up in the conversation. We're always talking about community in some aspect. And I think what came up in this conversation is that communities overlap, right? So we don't know this guy, but he knows people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And we can almost like start to decide or build and build an identity for this person, or build a story, a narrative for this person, and say, like, oh, if they know these people, you know, this is a person that's about what they do. This is a person that cares about what, you know, what they do. And
sure.
And that's in part because of our existing community, because there's people that he mentioned in the conversation that we are also very familiar with.
And even vice versa, cool. Right? Just the fact that we knew people who he knew, he probably felt more comfortable sharing his story with us.
Right.
But it was great. Right. I'm looking forward to chatting it up with him again.
Yeah.
Can we give out his information?
All right. So we didn't really get a chance to have Jose share information about where to follow him, but he mentioned about how active he is in his story. So definitely follow him on him and his team on Instagram. And that's going to be at colored.colors. So colored.colors. And that's on Instagram. And they post all their events and they have a very active story. And yeah, you can see all the incredible work that they're doing over there and, you know, follow along, follow his journey.
One Love Art Sessions couldn't have been complete without the wonderful guests, and even more so, our wonderful community. And you, our listeners. We'd truly appreciate it if you took some time to rate and review the podcast. With your help, we could increase listenership and get these incredible stories and messages out to a greater audience. The music used in this podcast was created by Pound, aka Chris Lee. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. One love.